Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Thank you.
afternoon.
As we carry on towards show 1500, not bad. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. As we're going to sit down and get down for the next 2 hours, courtesy of your loving Mad Scientist here on Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is good to have you in the house. Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assess of the Life Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now, at www.basnnewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be. Our brother, Radio Reggie, in Richmond, Virginia.
We have the senior in Detroit City.
Michael Robeson in Oakland, California. I just realized there's two Oaklands because there's an Oakland County in Michigan and stuff like that. So, yeah, right, there you go. And
hey, there's three Oaklands.
There's three? Oh, man. See? Look at that. You know you're in bad shape when you don't have your Oaklands together. But I got that. Sonic Cheryl and D. Orlando Lebert in Philadelphia. Pat Freeman, the mighty Obot, lording over Western New York. And, of course, the rest of the brothers when they get here. But riding with me, as always, my brother, the bad man from the East Bay, Gary Norris Gregg. What up, G?
Okay, let me get this to the people of America today, okay?
Yes, sir.
Today is December 18th.
Yes, it is.
2021.
Mm-hmm.
These, as you would call it, Dick Dastardly mofos.
Yep.
All right, Washington, D.C. this morning.
Mm-hmm.
They're rallying for the January 6th people.
Yep.
Now, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Enough is enough.
I agree.
These fools broke the rules.
Yes, they
These
did.
These fools broke laws.
Yeah,
These
but you know how white folks are, especially
people,
white men.
Tell people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They never arrived for these people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think
well,
about
you know,
this. If you eat this,
yeah.
Dominic Carmichael, the bad bad party,
mm-hmm.
had a rally.
Yep.
What would happen?
They would shoot their black asses on sight.
Thank you.
We know that.
America, you got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is your self-image, your self-worth, yourself as a, what you're telling me today
mm-hmm.
is all I need to know.
Well, before we go further with that, tell everybody who we are, James, so we can continue talking.
Yes, sir.
2 decades, the Black Athlete Sports Network has served as the definitive source for information about the black athlete. Whether it be historical or analytical, BASN has always celebrated the contributions of sport's most innovative and unique being, the black athlete. In 2016, as we relaunch blackathlete.com, look for more of the same from our unique set of writers and historians. We have been and always will be the soul of sports. We are BASN.
We are BASN.
You got that right. Now, Gary, I must tell you, full disclosure, you know I work sometimes as a croupier when we do fundraisers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now, I was scheduled to do a job in Baltimore, Maryland. That was actually yesterday. But the job got canceled and
because it's ruined, right?
Yeah, well, see, that's just it. I didn't even think about it, but I forgot about the fact that they were going to do this bullshit this Saturday. And that is why I'm sitting there like, uh-huh. Because They're doing this today, so they want you to remember what happened on January 6th. Now, if they really want you to remember what happened January 6th, then you better remember this. Everything that happened there at that White House and the supposed time it took to get reinforcements to help that situation out, you're talking about a radius of less than 5 miles.
Yep.
So somebody else had to be involved in making sure that either messages got obfuscated or they weren't going to pass on information that some serious stuff was happening by the Capitol. So that everybody took their time and shit got rerouted. And it's like, are you kidding me? The fix is in. Gee, I'm talking sabotage. We know damn well
had a
scheme in mind to delay as long as possible and give the so-called agitators enough time to stir up enough of a big enough pot of trouble to allow
Wait, Michael, you had police officers opening the door for these moves.
Yep. That's right.
I mean, what kind of I keep telling people this. If you keep moving around like this, it's going to bite you in the back. And this is going to bite America in the back.
Well,
the reason why
America
is because some people are going to say, okay, enough is enough. That's it. Republican Party, I hope Reggie goes on. Republican Party is in serious trouble because they won't back off. They will not back off. And they need to back off. They won't.
Gary, all this does is expose the Republican Party for what they are. Assholes and hypocrites. Because you got to remember when they did all this stuff on the 6th of January, you know, they caught people by surprise at first.
Yep.
And it took a handful of policemen, Capitol Police, whatever, you know, history really won't record what heroes they really were. Because I will tell you this straight up. If I'm a policeman and I'm armed, I'm shooting motherfuckers left and right. There's going to be some bodies on the floor. Like the song, that the bodies hit the floor, there'd have been a whole lot. And if I had been a commander, there'd been even more bodies on the floor. You know, we can't be cute with this shit because this is indicative of the police mindset that if somebody's black, they're a hard target. I'm not even talking about killing somebody. I'm talking about something as simple as stop and frisk, like what Bloomberg was getting away with in New York City. Oh, black guy, he's a hard target. Well, where's your ID, fella? You know, fuck you. If it's an Asian person,
hold on, G.
If they're an Asian person, they're a soft target because they won't be considered as big a threat. And, of course, if they're brown, Latino, whatever, or not, you know, you'll have mixed results with that. But the long and short of it is there's an immediate emotion connected with hostility whenever the subject is black, regardless of whether they're in a good mood, bad mood, any kind of mood. I'm sorry. Now you're going to
see. Let me take this one step further here. You say the American governor says, we have no money. Okay.
I think
the best value.
Mm-hmm.
Then you turn around, and pay $17 million to protect the ex-president's children.
Right. $17 million.
You pay $290 million for a governor recall in California. You pay
right,
$14 million to house the governor.
You're 25.
You do it.
You tabbing up. And so far, that's $325 million. And remember, as I go back to the infrastructure thing, every time infrastructure was brought up in Obama's administration, and not that I think he's all that great, Congress wasted $1.5 million of taxpayers' money as they went about their daily business. And when that motherfucker Trump went with the Affordable Care Act to try to tear that apart, he did it over 60 times out of 8.5 million. So that's 90 million right there. So add that to Gary's tab, and you've got 414 million. I don't want to say wasted in terms of like it was ill spent, but look at all this shit that was done for distraction purposes. And that's what this shit is. These are distractions. They get away from the real issue. And the real issue is, let's rewind. When it comes to the election, if you're Republican, you lost. You motherfuckers lost. Stop. You know, but now, every election from here on in is going to be, well, we must find the fraud. We know there's fraud about because we lost. And the recall election in California is indicative of that. You know, Larry Elder talking shit. Oh, you know, we're going to do something about fraud, blah, blah, blah. What fucking fraud? You're the fraud. Let's not even get to that. The whole point is you're lost. And whenever it gets back to you're lost, there's going to be, well, we didn't lose. Why? Because we said so. No, it doesn't work like that. But they wanted to work like that, and believe me, there are enough people who are so pissed at the fact that they're not getting their way anymore that this is going to be ingrained in our fabric now. Because we know Biden won with a whole shitload of votes, but Trump had a shitload of votes too. And this shitload of shitheads is what we're going to have to deal with now up until the next 4 years.
This country is in serious trouble. It's in serious trouble because they're putting money in the wrong places.
That's true.
I'll say this one more time. If you want to hear what I'm saying, there is no reason anywhere in the United States to have a homeless population in any state.
Yeah.
Let me explain this.
Mm-hmm.
I live in California. Never had any homeless people anywhere.
Right.
Well, guess what? There's a homeless encampment right here, right in 5 blocks from my house.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, why should we even look at this? There's no reason on this planet we should have homeless anywhere. You repeat it to somebody who understands it.
Gary, well, let me put it this way. Gary, the bigger picture is not so much the homeless issue, because homeless were always there. They just weren't as obvious. We had Tony McClain in the mix. The bigger issue is the fact that there's going to be less effort to stop it so that it can be used as a quality of life issue. And I think it will be one thing that Republicans will jump on, so they can use it as a way. Well, that's what I'm saying. They're going to continue on with this. You know? Now, Tony's not homeless, but we'll have to ask his opinion anyway. Big T, what's up?
How are you guys? Yeah, well, I've been on standby for the Mets bullpen, and as you can tell, they've let me go.
Yes. Well, look at it this way, gentlemen.
That night, I was doing COVID on that night.
Oh, that shit.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't pretty.
Well, let me ask this. Okay, now I know you are a Mets fan, but, you know, baseball really has some bigger fish to fry here. You brought up a great point when we were talking about the prep show last week about Derek Jeter and how he's looked at. Now, even though Derek Jeter plays for, and I quote, those motherfuckers from the Bronx, he has been a great player. And he is worthy of recognition in the Yankee board as part of the evil empire. He is Bronx Vader. However, we know he is definitely treated differently. And, Tony, please pick up on where we left him at and talk about that.
Well, you know, he's basically, if you're a Yankee fan of significant years, and I won't talk about you. But he is basically this generation's Joe DiMaggio in the sense of, you know, during his time playing, you know, he was looked upon, you know, he was the captain and all that. And he held himself in a certain way, you know, didn't give a lot of bombastic quotes, was borderline boring, but on the side, you know, but now, and while this shouldn't register, but, you know, his personal life, he always kept in wraps, even though we know that he had a pretty, pretty healthy social life, as Mariah Carey and some of the other damsels in distress that he, shall I say, saved along the way, if you want to call it that.
He did.
But he was one, and, you know, if you know of and you remember the quote-unquote aura of Joe D, when Joe D ended his career, you know, he could have hung on a little longer, what have you, but he chose not to. And the thing was, he spent the rest of his, you know, later years being Joe DiMaggio. You know, he cultivated his image, he molded it like, you know, like Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze and Ghost, and you know I'm guessing he kept his clothes on, but I cannot for that. But that being said, he's basically he had two careers. He was Joe DiMaggio, the baseball player, and then he was Joe DiMaggio, the corporation, the lawyer, the Yeah, and, you know, ironically, and he also,
what's
that again?
Getting some late information, and I'm sorry about that. Please continue.
No, no problem. Not a problem. Ironically, and I didn't mention this before, he was one of my dad's favorite players when, you know, growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing was, you know, everyone knows about, you know, his marriage with Marilyn Monroe and how he, they broke up, but they were still, you know, great friends to the end.
Right.
He, you know, in a sense, he kept her during the time after her murder / suicide, however you look at it. That's another 2-hour conversation that I don't want to get into right now. But he was the keeper of his own flame. And in many ways, Derek Jeter has been that as well since his retired days. Anything and everything has been well choreographed. We saw when he tried to buy the Marlins, he couldn't buy them. So I'll be GM and what have you. But everything has been cultivated. You know, he has been, you know, he has basically done what Joe D did. But in a sense, Derek Jeter has been ridiculed for being Derek Jeter. Now, I'm not talking about the angry Marlin fans, all 12 of them, that, you know, that are upset with the way that he has run the team. But and even like with his retirement, you know, with his number retirement back in the day, and then subsequently getting into the Hall of Fame a couple weeks ago, everything was well cultivated. Everything, you know, he was going to be the CEO of Derek Jeter Inc. and what have you. And to be quite honest with you, he should. And so should Joe D. Because, you know, there were rumors that whenever Joe D. showed up, whether it was at Hall of Fame or at Old Timers Day, he always had to be introduced as the greatest living ball player.
Yeah.
So, you know, Joe DiMaggio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. But make a long story short, even though Jeter, you know, won a bunch of titles, I believe he won the same amount of titles as DiMaggio 5. DiMaggio won them, you know. But Jeter, for whatever reason, and maybe we're splitting hairs, I don't think so, but I think Jeter has really never been put in that same category as Joe by the Yankee fans. Now, Yankee fans in general, and I'm going to try to keep this as clean as possible, they have a tendency to me, live in the past. Everything, you know, no matter, every player is judged by the ghosts.
That's,
you know,
right.
Bruce, DiMaggio, Berra, Zong, on and on.
And
there's
deaths on the movie 61, Tony. They did that. They, when they were talking about,
if you want to go to Old Timer Game back in the 70s, then you'll see.
Look, when after CBS took over, you know, put it this way. They talk about those years much like how Germany doesn't like to talk about the years 1939 to about 1945 for, you know, for obvious reasons, of course.
Yeah.
But the thing is, there's always been sort of a phrase where he's not a true Yankee. The thing with me has always been, it's always been funny to me. And see, it was one of, you know, it's well chronicled. I have told this story several times. My dad, longtime Yankee fan, you know, what have you. But I became a Met fan out of spite because I didn't buy into all the propaganda. And again, a lot of it was because of the way that they were depicted, they were, you know, and everything. But see, over the years, now look, have I watched Yankee games over the years? Of course. They're right here in the area. You can't hide, you know. Put it this way, like Mike says, they're like in-laws. You can't hide from them. So there's no way around not watching a Yankee game or two along the way. But also, I look at how the ways that they market themselves and how they whatever. There's a clear distinction before the boss owned them, during the time when the boss owned them, and the subsequent time since the boss has passed away. You know, number one and number two son have tried to feel the same bombast, but it was sort of like, you know, watching Jim Belushi trying to be John Belushi. It's like something got lost in the sauce. But see, even as great as Jeter is in the pantheon with other Yankees or whatever, there's still, to me, has always been a, He's a good Yankee. Now look, there's a lot of anti-New York sentiment as well. You know, a lot of the Boston haters and the Yankee haters have come out talking about how he was never a great shortstop. He never won an MVP. They focus more on what he didn't do as opposed to what he was able to do. But unfortunately, a lot of that noise is also coming from the Bronx, in the sense of, even, you know, it's almost like they look more at the later years as opposed to the championship years. Now, whenever they wanted to beat up everybody's favorite beat-up doll, A-Rod, they would always make sure they would bring, you know, Jeter's name and what have you. And ironically, you know, during his last year where he was being honored by everybody, you know, they had the campaign, you know, the respect thing with the two standing as a one. And it was very cool. I even thought about buying a shirt, but I said, no, I'll honor him in my own way, but no, I'm not putting the interlocking white and Y on any of something that I wear unless I'm using it for nefarious purposes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Everybody gets afflicted with that disease. But I was able to find the cure. So you know, I'll just leave it at that.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on, everybody. If it please the court, allow me to provide the following. There is a situation that has been added to this that gives me full indication of what has transpired. We are suffering from the skin game factor. What do I mean by that? Allow me to submit Exhibit A, Reggie Miller. Now, Reggie Miller has been a great basketball player and a Nick killer for a long time. We know this. But
yeah, bless his heart.
What endeared Reggie to Indiana and the Heartland was here's this guy who was rolling into a more conservative mindset. He fit the script, he flourished in it, and he became a Hoosier, whatever the hell a Hoosier is. But it didn't hurt him that he was like damn near white. I now refer to Exhibit B, Stephon's one of the best shooters of all time. I think we can say that with some sort of conviction. He's not the best, one of the best.
Absolutely.
And of course, he can throw it up from downtown L.A. and hit it in Oakland. No problem. But he has that one bugaboo. He's light, bright, damn near, but he ain't white. And we know Draymond Green, his teammate, and also a valued member of the Dubs during their championship run, is downright blue-black compared to him. And we know that he is treated different by articles, by the overall spin from the community. He is not given the same respect as Stephon Curry, who gets a pass because he's perceived to be hacked in. Which brings us to Exhibit C and Derek Jeter. Now, Jeter has done everything he can do. I can take off now. In all honesty, Jeter probably got as much pussy and did as much dirt as everybody else, arguably, but he was just different with his stuff. He had style. Nobody had to know his business. And that was okay. But in the pantheon of those motherfuckers from the Bronx, he still doesn't get any play because he's not white. Now, having said that, what makes me feel otherwise? I give you Exhibit D and Willie Randolph. If somebody was an archetype Yankee, it had to be Randolph. Randolph was a good soldier. He did everything he could to help his team win. He was a leader on the field and off. And when the rumors started to come out that he would one day be the successor and manager of the Yankees, somebody said, are you out of your bunny rabbit blinking mind? Do you think I'm going to have a nigger take over our family business? No, Mortimer, neither would I. And that's exactly what happened. Randolph went on to manage the Mets. And even though he was successful in his first year, they gave him the bum brush. Sorry, Brooklyn fans. And they kicked him to the curb, too. And I have to think that complexion and protection with two things directly connected with these. I yield to the court.
Well, yeah. You know, the funny thing was when Willie was brought in as the Mets manager, it was him and Omar Minaya was also the GM. And you had, and they called them, you know, they talked about how it was the quote-unquote Latinization of the Mets. And see, the sad thing about the Mets franchise and their fan base is while in one instance they will embrace the old Brooklyn Dodgers, you know, to the point where you have a Jackie Robinson rotunda and all this other stuff, but even in their success or what have you, they've done the same sort of thing where, well, he wasn't a true Met or he wasn't a whatever Yankee. And see, the funny thing to me with that has always been, you know, the Mets, for the longest time, their identity was always entrenched with other teams, you know, even down to the team breakdown in the colors, you know, the blue was for the Dodgers, the orange is for the Giants, and the pinstripes are, of course, for the Chicago Cubs. But it's the Mets have always been, and their fan base has always talked out of both sides of their ass. And
yes.
And again, lest you think that I'm a Met fan, as you know, one of the we're all with us. But see, I'm not immune to not criticizing them and, mm-hmm. and their history.
Yeah.
I have yet to sit down and watch Once Upon a Time in Queens yet. I will sit down and watch it. I think I'd rather watch that than watch the current bunch at this point in time right now, but that's another story in and of itself. But mm-hmm. there's always been that same sort of double standard as well, you know.
Yes.
Having not seen the 86 documentary, the thing that I always remembered back in the day was when things were going well, it was because Keith and Gary were carrying the team. And when things would go wrong, it was because mm-hmm. Doc and Strawberry are fucking up.
And Kevin Mitchell.
And I think if you ever saw the other 30 for 30 on Doc and mm-hmm. Daryl, you got that sort of vibe. But see, I lived through all of that, so I know it was there. Look, It was a pleasure. You know, 86 is always a special year. In many ways, 86 was more special than 69 because I was a child in 69. 86, mm-hmm. you know, I was the corner phrase, I was a grown ass man in 86.
They bought
so,
the house in 86. I got to give them their props on that.
The media reviews it.
You know, it's funny. You know, when Hernandez first got to the Mets, that was during the time of the Pittsburgh drug scandal. And I remember, if you remember, they were looking at banning all of them for a year. And I remember a friend of mine asked me, you know, are you pro Hernandez or are you against the rules? No, I'm not. If they got to suspend him for a year, sit his ass down. I mean, as much as you don't want to, you know, you got it. You know, to me, if you're going to be consistent, you have to do it that way. But I will say this, at least in regards to Hernandez. Hernandez was genuine. You never got any bullshit from Hernandez, and it's reflected even in his announcing because he's not controversial per se, you know. He's one of those guys that will definitely have a stream of consciousness, and then will sort of backtrack a little bit when he realizes that he has gone a little too far. Dykstra was a dirtbag the day he got to New York. He was a dirtbag the day he left New York, and he is still a dirtbag in all of that. So in that mm-hmm. sense, Lenny has been Lenny, but again, to go back to what Gary said, he has always been given a pass because people have said, well, that's just Lenny being Lenny. I thought it was real interesting that when Ron Darling came out with his book, he called out Dykstra for his racial slurs against, alleged racial slurs against Oil Can Boyd in the mm-hmm. 86 World Series. So,
yep.
And you know, Wally Backman's another one of those sort of redneck. I think Backman's past has hurt him more than it has hurt Dykstra because it probably cost him a major league managerial job.
I would agree with that. Now, let's go back to what we said about perception and reality earlier on. We testified earlier, since you brought up Dykstra, let's go there and take a short side trip to Philly. Now, in 93, when the Phillies put that ragtag team together and got to the World Series, oh, they loved Lenny Dykstra. And just like I said, with Lenny being Lenny, nobody knew what a fucking sociopath he really was. Now, you take that, and they did, and by the way, they didn't win that series. But you take that, and you take the efforts of one Donovan Jamal McNabb in Philadelphia as a legit number one draft choice, a legit franchise quarterback, and, in my humble, a legit Hall of Famer. But they always got Donovan's ass because they said, well, he's in a Philly guy. I'm still trying to decipher what the fuck is a Philly guy. Does he have tasty kid shit out of his ass? Is he wearing a Passion tuxedo, you know, eating a cheesesteak? And a Passion tuxedo, by the way, is a leather jacket. No.
Mm-hmm.
But he served the city well. He did everything he could to help his team win. And I don't give a fuck how nasty the chunky suit was. Donovan was all right. His pluses far outweighed his minuses, as opposed to somebody who's a fucking scammer who should have been arrested and put in jail, but because he's Lenny Dykstra, oh, you know, he's just another guy. And now, if I can complete this troika, let me go back to the Yankees for a hot second and A-Rod. Alex Rodriguez was summoned by the big boss for one reason. He wanted to be there to silence that 18-year-old Barry LaMar Bond as far as who was going to be the all-time home run king. They thought A-Rod was on the fast track for it, and they spent more than $250 million twice to make sure that he was there for that. But when A-Rod was coming up short...
I go to repeating himself right now.
Yes.
This boy I do well.
Yes.
Well, I'll say this much. I think at this point in time right now, I think that there will, you know, I don't think he's gonna catch as much. He hasn't been there as long as Donovan as of yet, but I think there might be a little difference. Now Philly is still going to be Philly. You know, there ain't no, you know, only difference between Philadelphia and Michigan.
They want a white hero.
Let's be clear. Only difference between Philadelphia, Mississippi, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania is about 700 or so miles. Let's be clear.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. So, but let's, you know, I think even they realize that they've got a gem here, and
yeah,
I think and the scary thing is he can get better. I think Sunday was just scratching the surface of what he was able to do. And
I agree.
Let me can I do a shameless self promotion?
Please.
If you want to know more about Jalen Hurts, Teddy Bridgewater, and Jameis Winston, go to www.basnnewsroom and go see week one of the Field Generals.
That's great.
By the way, Michael. I'm glad I got both of you on here. Apparently, the NFL is not allowing any of their content to be put on certain sites now. It took me what usually takes me about, say, about 15-30 minutes to add video. I had to be a little bit creative in doing stuff, so that's going to be a little bit of a challenge this year, because everything now, hey, remember, this is the biggest, it's the biggest year ever. Remember, Mike, it's the biggest year ever. So they're going to try to make sure that they can have the biggest step ever. So, you know. It's interesting because we have been running, this was the second year that we've done
field general. We've always been able to sort of
in the background,
run.
Guys.
I apologize. I am washing clothes, so that's
okay,
where the
so
noise
that's
is coming
I
from.
I just wanted to make sure it was mm-hmm. us and not some other outside.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
No problem.
See, my five-star maid is off this week, so I have to wash the clothes myself. And if you believe I've got a five-star maid, I got 25 cents that can give me to just say, go to hell.
I know that's right. Well, if it please the court, allow me to continue and complete this. Alex Rodriguez was hired by the Yankees so that the Yankees would claim and reclaim the title of which team had the record for most lifetime home runs. They really thought A-Rod was going to get them there, but they didn't figure on Barry Bonds having the seasons that he did down the road, which gave him so much distance that there was no way he would be caught. So when they realized that Alex Rodriguez would no longer be El Gran Chick, they went after him in a slaughter of his assassination and assassination of his character with the steroids. Performance-enhancing substances. He goes on 60 Minutes. Never mind that A-Rod literally helps the Yankees win a World Series with his performance. I mean, he went off on one year and hit a home run.
Yes, 2009.
He played his ass off. And what did the Yankees say in gratitude? Fuck you. That's what they basically did. And again, because he might have been light, but he wasn't white. Now, having taken in all the evidence, we will now pass sentence. If it please the motherfucking court, I charge the New York Yankees, Lizzie, Vince Lamar, and the so-called sports writers with 5 degrees of first-degree assholery, dumb fuckery, and they are all guilty. Let them all fuck.
Mike. For yes, Mr. Webster's purposes, dumb foolery, 1L or 2?
That's 2.
2. Thank you. Okay, good. When he calls, I want to make sure I have everything, all my ducks in a row. Please continue.
Yes. Okay. Well, now, having said that, leave us carry on and move on to football because the focus with the NFL is going to be image. And we know they look to steal as many negative images from everyone's eyes as they possibly can, especially since the people who are turning the grinding wheel for the league happen to be black. Black quarterbacks went 8-2 in week one, and now we need to find out what will happen to the field general. Hear that? So, gentlemen, we have an interesting slate of games coming up this Sunday, starting with the Denver Broncos and Jacksonville Jaguars. General Teddy Bridgewater has been steadfast through the first week. He handled the Giants in typical Bridgewater fashion. He grounded luck, threw what he needed to throw, and beat the Giants 27-13. He will now go into battle against the Jacksonville Jaguars team that got the ass whipped on week one, and Urban Meyer's fucking ass is still down there in Jacksonville trying to pretend to protest when we know he's a jerk.
For now.
Yes. Well, supposedly he has been lured by University of South Central. Southern Cal has decided they need a new coach.
Again?
Urban Meyer has decided maybe he made his move too early to go into Jacksonville because he knows he can't get away with some of those control tactics with grown-ass men playing in a pro league. I have a feeling he's going to get a whole lot of heat, fellas. What say you?
Well, it's very, very interesting that Urban Meyer came right out and basically said, I am not going to the University of Spoiled Children. I'm staying here in Jacksonville. But I believe it when I see it, because I think, to say the least, I don't even think he realized what he was getting into by going to Jacksonville.
I do. Yeah.
And, you know, all of his shenanigans that he was able to get away with on the other side of the state, they don't fly very well in that other part of the state. Now, granted, he's still coaching a college team. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It's a little different because these kids, unlike some of the children that he nurtured and coached before, they have a little leverage, and last I checked, I believe they have to clear a salary. I believe that they're paid for their services, unlike what happened down there in Gainesville. But I digress. But you know what? Here's the thing. I think everybody knows what the deal is with Urban Meyer. Needless to say, he does the best Larry Brown / Rick Pitino impersonation I've ever seen. You know,
that's a
along with his talents as being an Adam West impersonator for parties on the side during the winter. But I know it's early. I don't think he's going to leave right away. I think he's gonna, do the year. I think he'll do at least a year. I forget how long the contract is. I believe it's a 3-year deal in Jacksonville. But I think they'll get a year out of him. Anything after this year, though?
No,
you'll get a year. You'll get a year.
Let's put it this way.
Put it this way. I will say this. He is a carpetbagger.
Yes,
but he's not Bobby Petrino.
No, nobody's Bobby
Petrino.
Say
that
much. Petrino was a scumbag.
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
He's a scumbag. He's a scumbag. Urban Meyer's a scumbag on a different level. But see, I think he'll do at least the year. What have you? But no, I don't think he's going to go to USC right away. I'll just say that much.
Yes, I would agree on this. Bobby Petrino did what he did at a level of scumbaggery that was far beyond anybody else coming out of the college.
More clarification: 2 G's or 1 G for
2 G's and scumbaggery. Yes. Thank you.
I just want to again, when Mr. Webster calls, I want to make sure I have everything correct. So please.
Those black motherfuckers doing that shit to my dictionary. How dare they? As our brother Reggie would say. But moving on to the next matchup. Buffalo Bills will go up against our resident Samoan brother, Tua Tagovailoa. Now, Mr. T has played well for the Miami Dolphins, and their coach, Brian Flores, has really shown what he can do on the skills tip. He's taken some of the shit he has learned And you know Belichick will take credit for this. But the bottom line is he's not a Belichick clone. He obviously has different approaches towards playing and winning games, and it seems to work for him. So now Buffalo, who lost their first game after going up 10-0 before getting shut out pretty much by Pittsburgh in the second half, will now go down to the Sunshine State and get their ass whipped. What say you all?
Well, first of all, cancel that Super Bowl parade down in Buffalo right quick. Some people thought that they were ready to make it to the next level.
The Bills Mafia.
Yeah. This was, you know, put it this way. I can't prove that Michael Corleone was in Buffalo this weekend, but, you know, an awful lot of half-eaten donuts around Is it Ralph Wilson Stadium or I forget the name of this. The corporate magic name now.
Pat, if you're listening, come on in. But yes,
At this point in time, right now, it may be filling your name here, stadium. So we'll just review
pretty
it
much.
That. But when we were prepping, and this is what I've been saying a lot. I hope. Flores has been playing a little mind games with Tua in the little bit of time that he's been there. You know, having Fitzpatrick fraud there to sort of serve as a quote unquote mentor did nothing to me to help him to develop. I'm hoping that this is a year where Tua doesn't have to look over his shoulder and just be like, hey, job is yours. Go out and ball because, you know, Miami's sort of where Buffalo was a couple of years ago, and I think in this instance they have a better quarterback in this year. I'm still not quite sold on Josh Allen.
Neither am I.
I'm not ready to fully embrace him as the guy.
Yeah.
Although, you know, the national media has basically been, Miami has a this is a key game because Miami can go 2-0, not only 2-0 overall, but 2-0 in the division here because they just beat Team TiVo last weekend in Foxborough. So yeah, this is a big early game in the sense where Buffalo can fall down 0-2 and Miami can go up 2-0. And 2-0 in the division. So, yeah, I like Miami. Is it at Miami?
It's at Miami. Yes, it is.
There you go. Well, see, I would definitely lean toward Miami in this instance because.
Gary, what do you think?
I think the Mets just called him to put him in the bullpen for the next week or so. Who do you think is going to win Buffalo at Miami?
Oh, Miami. Buffalo, Bills are a complete fraud.
I don't think he's all that good, but yes, he's got some skill. But yes, complete fraud. Well, I'll go with that for now. That works for me. On black men, especially at the most important position on the field. So Baker Mayfield will get much more love than Curtis Mayfield, even if it was in a recording studio. But I digress. Having said that, it is a moral imperative that the field generals go into battle ready to dominate and win each battle. And collectively, that will win this so-called ego war. Now, having said that,
Mike, it's interesting, like you said, you know, 8-2 this week. And the two and the two losses were basically last second losses. Of course, you know,
yes, they were.
You know, Dallas gave Giselle's husband way too much time at the end of the game to win. and you know, Lamar, you know, with a couple of fumbles notwithstanding, their defense got gashed. Basically got gashed. Now
Exactly.
And see, and remember, they're already playing from behind because they literally lost three running backs in a span of 24 hours. Now they did sign. They did sign Devonta Freeman this week. They also added the former CIAA Player of the Year Nick Cannon. Not Nick Cannon. I'm watching too much TV. Mr. Cannon from Virginia State. But,
that's okay.
So we'll put it this way. If nothing else, hopefully now Lamar can have a little bit more help because, as you know, Lamar basically, you know, Lamar damn near has to play both sides because he can't, you know, because the defense is, you know, they're having their problems. And the fact
the fact that they got surprisingly gashed like they did took them off guard. But let's give
I blame it all on Gary, by the way.
Exactly. You know it's Gary's fault.
You know what you did.
I saw you did.
Given that half-ass pep talk to Mr. Carr.
Most important game of this week. I don't know if you guys agree with me or not, but the Houston Texans against the Cleveland Browns.
Let's save that one. I want to get to that one yet because I think you're right on that one. But let's save that because right now, I want to go to a battle of potential field generals as the San Francisco 49ers without the rest of
them. Oh, here we go.
My Philadelphia Eagles.
Here we go.
Look, now, as my man Tony would say, after Atlanta lost 32-6, hurts Tony. So now Jalen Hurts has shown at least right now that he's ready for prime time. He skillfully moved through an Atlanta team that should have been beaten 32-6. So the outcome really was the result it should have been. Devontae Smith was going to be righteous. Jalen Reagor got some more experience. Quez Watkins has taken his opportunity and seized it. So now Philadelphia's got some speed and, more importantly, they got somebody who can catch the ball, and even more importantly, somebody that can get it to them. So we've got this going up against San Francisco, who ran up 41 points last week on Detroit. But then again, it's Detroit. Like I said, who's going to be afraid of a lion dressed in silver and Columbia blue? Are you kidding me? You know,
Gary,
it's the Shanahan factor.
There you go. That's right. It is Shanahan. Listen, we always talk about coaches who get too cute, right? We know Pete Carroll's one of those guys. Kyle Shanahan is another one. They'll do trick plays and little QC shit when really they should be knocking the snot out of somebody, and it will come to catch them. Now, fortunately for San Francisco, they have Trey Lance, who, from the time he came into the lineup, has shown he's got potential spots to be a big-time star. $137 million on Jimmy Garoppolo. Remember that. So they think, or at least thought at the time, that it was money well spent. But Trey Lance is willing, when he gets out there, to show them that the man wasted their time and money on doing this. And Garoppolo went up against everybody in the NFC West, which is going to be arguably the strongest division. He came up short each time. San Francisco did not make the playoffs. I won't go so far as to scream on him, but it is clear that he ain't that good. That's better than saying, the boy ain't shit. But no, he ain't that good. And so he will go up against Jalen Hurts and Hurts' first big test. What do you guys see? How do you guys see this? Especially you, G, out there. What are they saying?
Let me say this. I am going to Jalen Hurts in this game. Why am I doing that? It's because I am sick and tired. They're going to be faithful as they come out here. People is so geeked up about this game. And I want the Eagles to shut their mouth, all their mouths, because I know what the Eagles can do. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this game works out. But I think Garoppolo is on his way out anyway. I need the rookie to take over the Reigns.
Well, Gary, me and Mike have a trading places bet that that him and Mr. Fields out in Chicago will be the starters by week 8 or so, give or take, or what have you. Now Garoppolo, to his credit, probably earned a few extra hours of keeping the job by, you know, opening up several half-eaten cans of whoop-ass on the lion.
Sure.
Like I said, it's gonna put it this way: the drum beat for him starting in San Fran isn't even half as loud as it is in Chicago. They are throwing babies and sacrificing animals until Mr. Fields starts right now. They wanted him in there yesterday. They would rather see Abby Dalton than Andy Dalton at this point in time right now.
You just reminded me. How do you make a dead baby? Hold on, Gary.
Because they wanted to start.
But then let me ask you this, please, both of you. How do you make a dead baby float?
Oh, God, I know this answer, but I can't think of it right now. You give it to me again.
2 scoops ice cream, root beer, and a scoop of dead baby.
That's nasty.
Just sidetracking. We move on from San Francisco to Pittsburgh, where we know we don't have a field general, but we do have a field general in Brother Mike Tomlin, Omar Epps, if you will. And he will be going against the Las Vegas Raiders. And I say that facetiously. Now, Coach Tomlin, all he's done ever since he came into the coach's chair is win games. And the reason we're including him in this field general's effort is because no matter what they say, at the end of the day, if the Steelers win, the coach wins. And if the coach wins, all you assholes in Pittsburgh who want a white coach can shut the entire crap up. The Raiders win on Monday night, Gary. Did you think they deserved the win or did they get lucky?
No. Raiders, look. first 5 seasons. That's five seasons.
Mm-hmm. Tell them, LeBron.
Eight and eight. Here we go again.
Ain't gonna be no eight and eight this year.
I am not buying John Gruden. Mm-hmm. I am not buying Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr is mediocre. I think Pittsburgh is gonna kill the Raiders. Speaking of the Raiders,
mm-hmm.
they're already talking about going to the new stadium, the Death Star.
All right. Yeah. I love it.
Makes sense.
Me. That's exactly right. But Tony, we know how vulnerable the Death Star can be if you put the right bit of damage in the right spot. You know,
mm-hmm.
Mike Tomlin has been in the right spot for years now. And a lot of people don't realize that he's barely 50 years old. If he coaches just another 10 years with the basic record that he has right now in terms of average game, he's going to be up there. What are they going to say, Terry Bradshaw, about whether or not he can coach?
Michael, all he needs is 3-5 wins. And the all drive in the theater, I need 45-50 wins.
Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is whatever his accomplishments will be, they will be minimized. And
sure, we know why
they will be minimized.
Look, the only active coach that has more, well, there's only two other active head coaches that have more wins than Mike Tomlin. The guy who can't dress himself in Foxborough and of course, Andy Dalton. I'm sorry, Andy Reid. Sorry. But let's be honest. Pittsburgh's season is contingent upon Ben Roethlisberger's it's depending upon Ben Roethlisberger's pending pregnancy / retirement. So if they're able to get something out of him this year, they're actually in a good spot in the sense of there's not a lot of people that are expecting a lot. So
yeah.
When they do well,
mm-hmm.
it won't be as is always. It's never going to be like, you know, Tomlin has done a great coaching job. It's going to be the resurgence of pregnant. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger.
Exactly.
Speaking about this game will be broadcast in the Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
Wait. The Oakland Raiders were a home team back then, right?
Right.
The NFL has allowed the Raiders broadcast in the Bay Area. And that's really interesting because the Raiders are outside the state. They're outside the state now.
Yeah.
Gary, how dare you talk against Air Goodell? Look, it's
exactly.
all done for, look, they know that they're going to get a bunch of people that will sit and watch that game outside
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, There will probably be some Raider fans
mm-hmm.
who may bone up and buy NFL
yep.
Sunday ticket just so
yep.
they could watch
yeah.
their beloved Raiders every week. So yeah, see, here's the funny thing: if it's something where the NFL can make some money off of them, guess what they're gonna do?
Well, it's very interesting because last week. Matt Ryan to play their own game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw more LA Rams fan in that stadium. I'm like, what's going on out here?
Well, they wanted to see winning football. I don't blame them. They know what Matthew Stafford can do. The boring shit. And we'll get into him later. But leave us move on to Cincinnati and Chicago. Now, Chicago has an interesting deal to do with here.
Andy Dalton,
Dickie Dalton, none of those motherfuckers ain't going to make it unless Yes.
Now, is Gary talking about Mr. Fields from the old Abbott and Costello show? Is he talking about Tony Fields, the alleged comedian from back in the day? Or is he talking about that guy that actually was quarterbacking for Ohio State last year? I got my answer.
Chicago nailed their way to put Fields on in a drive situation. And through no fault of his own, the tip drill netted an interception in the end zone. So they sat Fields' ass down. And of course, they were getting their ass whooped, so it didn't work, although Fields came in later and scored on a touchdown drive. The on-again, off-again shit does not work. If you're going to play the guy, play him, because anything else will mess with his continuity, and it also messes with the team's continuity. When a quarterback lines up on the center, you have to get in the rhythm. And you know eventually once a quarterback gets on the center, you've played a few games, what he's going to do when he scrambles to his left or moves to take a 5 or 7 step drop, you know. The offensive line needs to know that. And the only way they can know that is with reps. So you're going to have to play this kid because with Dalton out there, Chicago doesn't look very good. And I got to give Cincinnati credit. Burrow looks like a good choice for them. He played well in spots last year. And this may be another bare ass whooping if they don't put him out there because Goldilocks will play better than fucking Andy Dalton will, but I digress. Anybody have some porridge?
Chicago Bears got to make a decision. And they got to make a decision before game five.
Before game three. Start the kid. You know, he can't do any worse than Dalton does. I can tell you that.
Yeah. It's you know, look, I glimpsed in a little bit on Chicago talk radio.
They're losing their minds in Chicago, man.
Oh, man. I mean, you know, look between the Cubs and the Bears, put it this way, the only people who are smiling in Chicago are White Sox fans. But for entertainment purposes, we'll stick with the older, longstanding teams. But yeah, they, you know, the little glimpse that they got in preseason, you know, they wanted, you know, put it this way, you know, it used to be in Chicago, your baby's first words were "Go Bears," but apparently their first words are now "Start Fields." From what I can gather.
Yeah,
but it's I mean, it's a movement. It's a movement.
He's
now.
First round draft pick. You may as well start him.
And I must admit myself, I've gone back and forth with this. I know when he was drafted, I said, start him tomorrow. Start him now. Yep. And then they signed, then they signed the untalented Mr. Dalton for mm-hmm. like so many teams do in regards to that.
Yep.
But I guess my whole thing was I didn't want to see him get thrown to the Wolves because their offensive line is. Even Pete Puma wouldn't be around that offensive line very well. But you know what? That being said, if this is going to be a quote unquote lost season, put him in there. But again, the only reasons why I made the trading bet places. If that's for me, I'm not here. But it's a sort of thing where I guess you might as well go ahead and throw him in there. But one of the reasons why I made the trading places bets, which is because knowing the mentality of these coaches and what have you, what seems to be obvious to Ray Charles, George Shearing, Roy Orbison, Longstreet, Mr. Magoo, and all those other previously mentioned, with all those previously aforementioned NFL analysts, most NFL coaches are just going to be like, no, he's new. They'll give you coach speak and what have you, and then they'll ask him to basically save the season.
Pretty much, because you know that's what they do with the brothers. If you ain't super Negro, sit your ass on the bench. And we also need to mention that Coach Epps also took Brother Hastings from the scrap heap in Washington, and now he is the backup, and he is learning. So I have a feeling that will pay dividends down the road for the black gold. Now,
maybe even sooner than we think.
Maybe even sooner. Moving on, we have the Minnesota Vikings and the Arizona Cardinals. Now, after seeing what we saw from Arizona early on, this air raid offense that they've given it might have some credibility, only because they may have some defense to back up their offense. I mean, Chandler Jones had a career damn day, 5 sacks. There are linemen in the league who play a whole season and they won't get 5 sacks.
That's sadly true.
Right. But we also know that the Minnesota Vikings and my fan friend out there, Lady Jana, she says skull. You know, I'm with you, Jana, skull for the Vikings. But you gave Kirk Cousins $86 million for 3 fucking seasons. Every fucking dime of it guaranteed. What? Are you out of your bunny rabbit blinking minds? That boy is shit. But we know this. And now he will be facing an Arizona team that might be showing some balance. And Lieutenant Murray, now in his third season, is showing some leadership skills as well. What sayest thou?
If they're able to at least play, We're not asking them to be the 85 Bears, but if they can be sort of like say the 70 Giants, they got a shot. And when you look at you alluded to this earlier, when you look at the NFC West this year, we all know what Russ can do. The scary thing with Murray is that I think that he can even get – I think Murray can get better. At some point, the kid in San Fran is going to take over, and then there's Matthew Stafford. So it's going to be an interesting division. I'm looking for one of the must-see games this year, and they were last year as well, are the Seattle Arizona games. You know, those were two of your better games last year, and those are, those are two. I think at least one of them is on either ESPN or it's on a Thursday night or it's on a Sunday night or what have you. I think
at least
one of them.
It's gonna be prime time.
Yeah, I think one of them is slated for prime time, and the other one may be the back end of a doubleheader. Oh, yeah, by the way, I think last week was the first time for opening day that you had that both Fox and CBS had doubleheader games.
Wow. I didn't think about that, but
yeah.
I think it's
great. Yeah, that's why, and see, I think that's what led to the high ratings, because if you had you had most watched, it was like the most watched opening day in about five, 10 years. Matter of fact, the Monday night game, the most watched Monday night opener since 2005. So early on, again. It's the biggest year ever, as they keep trying to tell us. So they're gonna do anything and everything to push that. And week one, in their eyes, was the culmination of what they had basically every place for the most part was full. You had some exciting games and what have you. But again, it's still, we still got 17 more weeks left of this. And so far, with the exception, I guess, of the Ravens backfield, no one's major has gotten hurt, so to speak.
I'm glad
I.e. quarterbacks or whatever. Apparently, Tyrod Taylor has yet to run into his trainer, so that's a good sign already from last year.
We do have a sidebar in this game. Now, DeAndre Hopkins, who, in my opinion, has the best fucking hands in the league, not on the team, not in the conference, the league. We forget that Hopkins once went a whole year not even dropping a ball. They're trying to find Hopkins now as we hit you, we speak in the background. But DeAndre Hopkins has brought something different to the table because he said if he has to take a vaccine, he will retire. That's why the police are after his ass now. He says if he takes the vaccine, if he takes the vaccine, he will retire. Now, we haven't had this faceless yet to this level because it's one thing if a third stringer does this, Hopkins is a star. He is potentially a Hall of Famer. And we know we got to find out for real if this is legit. So what do you say, guys?
Well, it's funny. I'm wondering if they'll take, I get the sad feeling that, if this story, keeps, making whatever. I'm wondering, because, he is not the only guy who has been anti-vax.
Right.
Well, of course, the aforementioned Mr. Kissing Cousins down in Minnesota.
Yep.
Josh Allen as well.
Yep.
Although Josh Allen went so far as to say, I won't take the vaccine, and then, of course, showed up on first day of camp. Okay, I'll take the vaccine. gotta love that decisiveness down there in Buffalo, but I digress. But put it this way. I'm going to leave my personal feelings out of it in the sense of be careful because they're going to – let's put it this way. I'll just come out and say it. They'll make an example of Hopkins before they will Cousins. And see, this won't be the first time. The actual reason why he's in Arizona is because the former redneck coach of the Texans didn't approve of his lifestyle, which is, so I wouldn't be surprised that at some moment this year, apparently, if Arizona keeps doing well, that all of a sudden will become a national story where they can sort of ridicule him in regard to this. I just put it this way. Again, it's the first week. You try not to overhype or whatever. But that being said, you do get the feeling, and especially now that this is Murray's third year, that there's something special possibly going on down there in the desert. Because because you remember, mid-season last year, all they basically had to do was go 500, and they would have won the division. But they took a terrible dive. You know, Murray played hurt most of the second half of the year as well.
He was hurt.
But I hope that this doesn't mess up what they've got going, because I really feel that Murray. I think Murray has the possibility of being, at the very least, a Pro Bowler, if not an All-Pro this season.
I agree. I expect a winning season from Murray, and it's largely in part because of our next game that I expect that. The Tennessee Titans will now go 3,000 miles cross-country and face General Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks in late afternoon game. Now,
finally.
Yes, exactly. Now, we know part of what has made Seattle battle-tested is the fact that each year they make Russell Wilson come north, or rather I should say come east, and they make him play at 10 o'clock in the morning, because that's what his biorhythms are saying when he gets on the center, when people are trying to smash his ass in little quarterback meatballs. But Russell has handled all that, as he has always done throughout his career, and made opponents pay more often than not.
Matter of fact, Mike, just to piggyback on that, 12 games in his career where, not counting the playoffs, where, I'm sorry, 13 games where he has had, like you said, those aforementioned 10 a.m. Pacific time starts. He's only lost one of them, by the way.
Wow. Now, that is amazing.
12-1.
Yeah. That's 12-1. That's a fascinating stat. And I'm sure they'll forget about that when it comes to Russell, because all General Wilson does is win. But we know Tennessee got caught up in their own game last week because they could not catch up with the style that they are normally used to. If Tennessee is whipping somebody's ass, then Brother Henry is running that bad boy. Tannehill is doing just enough to not mess it up, and they'll hold up there in the thing. Now, because of the additions, Tennessee was expected to do much more. But Seattle has improved their defense. Russ seems like he's on a mission. So I'm expecting there's going to be some fireworks, but I'm also expecting Seattle to hold serve at home. What do you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, please wait. I would hope the first thing that Vrabel has in the secondary meetings, guard Lockett. Because the Colts was out there for 3.5 hours and they're still trying to find Lockett. It's crazy.
It's not a secret anymore.
You know, yeah, that's the funny part. No, look. Now, you know that they've got Metcalf and this, and I guess the other tight end or whatever. He's got all sorts of weapons. But Lockett Lockett is clearly his his favorite. And as you said several times, everybody goes the extra mile for him. That the one we saw it in evidence in that one touchdown pass just before the 2 minute warning. Sunday's game. But the play to me was the one where he basically was doing his best Cirque Soleil thing, where he's basically turning around 47 different times and basically catches it over the wrong shoulder. And by the way, he pointed out that he had the, he he had the wherewithal to say, oh, yeah, I got held on the play, but the play, you know, he's already.
No, he
really
is.
His inner,
his
inner,
his inner, his inner wrestling.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, look, see, again, they're going to go as far as their defense. Their defense last year still had a lot of growing pains. Look, Russ, you know, Russ is going to win games and what have you. They'll go as far as their defense. They probably, I think it's safe to say of the four teams in that division, they probably have the worst defense. I mean, overall, I mean, they have decent defensive players, but overall, their defense it leaves a lot to be desired. But yeah, they should be able to beat Tennessee. And again, it's sort of, you know, piggyback on Arizona because they made Henry a non-factor, and that's the deal with them. You basically make Henry a non-factor, and you force Tannehill to beat you. And look, I've been critical of Tannehill. Yes, I admit that over the years he's gotten a little bit better, but still, if you're asking him to win the game for you, you're asking the wrong guy. I'm sorry.
Well, that's true. And you're right. Tannehill, while not totally mediocre, he's had his moments. He's profited from the fact that Henry and that offense, when they get rolling the way they want, he doesn't have to do anything. He just doesn't have to fuck it up. So we know if Tennessee is in a contention situation, Henry has rushed for a shitload of yards, and Tannehill made a play here and a play there. But he did not seal off the alley. That's what Seattle has to do to make sure that the game and the win stays in their hands. Now we go to Dallas and the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, I thought Coach Lynn did a decent job with the Chargers. The quarterback, Herbert, looks like he's got some skill. But Dak has been out all year. He seems to be in a flow that last game. And they're on the road out in California. How do you see this, Tom?
I think they can pull off the win. You know, the thing about the Chargers, now, you could say that they somewhat had a scrimmage last week because they played the Washington football team, Motor Kings, and traveling All-Stars last week. But I like Herbert. I think, you know, he's definitely, you know, he's more than lived up to the hype. I think he's actually exceeded it to a certain extent. But I get the feeling that Dallas is gonna have, you know, they've had a little bit more time to get that taste out of their mouth from opening night. But I think it winds up being a close game because San Diego is allegedly, I'm sorry, Los Angeles. You know, I gotta put something in the LA Charger Oakland Raider jar now. I think Dallas pulls away with it. And again, you know, Dak looked like, you know, for all the whatever in regard to the preseason reps and all that other stuff, boy, Dak and Russell sure pissed on that, didn't they?
They sure did. Yeah. It's going to be amazing. The field generals are winning. We know why they're winning. I just want to see the winning continue. So if we see a similar response like last week, that'll make them 16-4, and in the NFL will definitely have some explaining to do because they'll have to change their strategy. Now, the Sunday night game, and it seems like the Sunday night games have taken over as the marquee game for the league for the week. A major matchup of field generals is General Mahomes up against General Jackson in Baltimore in a Sunday night matchup. Now, unlike a lot of other quarterbacks, General Jackson has actually beaten General Mahomes. He has outrun, outthought, and was able to outmaneuver him at least once. But General Mahomes, being the rock that he has come in, and with his superior firepower, he has handled business. Now, Baltimore leads the league in running. In spite of the fact that they had major injuries in the running back spot, Latavius Murray actually put in some decent time for them. You mentioned earlier that Devontae Freeman will come back into the Ravens' backfield. So they'll be able to help Jackson somewhat. But they needed a big back to handle some of the heavy load, and Gus Edwards is a little sore. So how can Baltimore continue to be successful running their offense against Kansas City team?
Well, you know, unfortunately, they're going again, there's even more onus on Lamar. But see, the defense has got to, you know, the defense has got to help him out here. They've got to meet him halfway. Now, it does not help that you've got, you know, arguably the best quarterback in the league coming into town again. And oh, by the way, since that time that Baltimore beat them, they've never beat them again ever since. It's been, you know, especially, you know, you remember last year's, I think it was Monday night game. But, yeah, this is just, you know, you don't want to, I mean, it's week two, and you don't want to talk about key, you know, season-defining games 2 weeks into the season, but you don't want to fall down 0-2. You don't want to fall down 0-2, you know, with the, you know, now, granted, you know, again, because of the big-ass season of this year, 0-2, maybe even 0-3 may not be as terrible as it was in previous years. But that being said, you still don't want to be 0-2. It just makes it – you got to go with Kansas City till they're beaten. I mean, you know, they had – you know, they sort of toyed with the Browns last week and then just said, oh, you know, then all of a sudden it turned into – the candy sketch for I Love Lucy. Speed it up, Earl! And then the next thing you know, it was like...
yes.
Next thing you
well,
know,
you
like...
Know you're right. General Mahomes, just as Russell did on the game against the Indianapolis Colts, made a statement against the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland had just gone up 29-20. Kansas City gets the ball first and 10 on their 25-yard line. Mahomes rolls to his opposite side. He's got some pressure coming at him. Fires a missile about 60 yards to the other side of the field where the cheetah Hill catches it and runs in the remaining 15 yards. He ran literally to the other side and threw it from the other side of the field. And you know there was a mistake because the defender was so confused. He was still on the same side of the field. He thought Mahomes had thrown the ball down the sideline, and he got caught up when he realized the ball went the other way. He couldn't even touch Hill. It wasn't even about Hill's speed. He was
Mike.
Yes.
I don't want to say he got beaten badly, but he just got to the spot about an hour ago.
I know that's right. You know that's right. So, when General Mahomes makes a statement like that, he's reminding everybody, I'm a bad motherfucker without the Jackson inclination or intonation.
You know, the funny thing was, Mac, and I think we all got this sort of whatever, there were a lot of people that were sort of like relieved that the Chiefs lost last year because it was like, oh, good, now we know he ain't all that good. Well, think again, moron. You know, he's still,
Tony.
Absolutely. And see, that's unfortunately that sort of mentality has crept in even more so now with the betting whatever. Oh, by the way, as a small aside, here in the state of Connecticut, pro betting will become legal October 7th.
Uh-oh. You better plan on working overtime.
They took their sweet time, but they finally saw the light, and more so, I think they saw the receipts out of Philly and Delaware and Mississippi
exactly
and all the other states that have you. And you know what? Go ahead.
No school kid in the area will ever go hungry again because they have free lunch, hors d'oeuvres, sandwiches. Yeah, everybody, all the kids will be fed because the gambling bug has taken care of the house. There's no question about gambling.
To coin a old phrase, good.
Good. That's what gambling does.
Yeah, you know, like you said, this way. Oh, well, if you thought there were a lot of fat ass kids in Connecticut before, well.
Come on. Now, that leaves us with Monday and the Houston Texans versus the Cleveland Browns. Now, we know Tyrod Taylor got a little bit of get back last Sunday. He's got some new toys, and I may be aside that, you know, a front office not only has to draft well, they have to acquire well when they're in a situation. And the whole Deshaun Watson stuff has put them in a situation. So Houston's front office went out and got Danny Amendola, a situation receiver, Philip Lindsay, who I thought was a really good player in Denver, and my cousin Mark Ingram took care out of Baltimore, stuck him down in Jackson, and they had Brandon Cooks, who had been picked up the year before, who was their deep threat. So now Tyrod puts this all together, makes a nice little stew, and whoops Jacksonville's ass 38-21. We already know they are dying to have this boy succeed, Mayfield. And the move, I mean, he has got to succeed. You know, the dog pound, those motherfuckers are eating dog biscuits hoping that Baker Mayfield is what they thought he was when he went 11-5 last year. How do you see this thing show up?
Well, the thing with Tyrod is whenever he's been healthy, and most importantly, whenever he's been given the opportunity to be the starting quarterback, and or you know, physically or mentally by his team. Mm-hmm. Remember, he was the last guy that took the Bills to the playoffs.
That's right.
Before Jethro down there as well. So he's look. It's so funny. All you heard, he's not Deshaun Watson. Thank you, Captain Obvious. But see, here's the thing. He ain't Andy Dalton either. You know?
You got that.
It's you know, this is a guy that has been, again, now, unfortunately, he and Teddy Bridgewater, they're working on their third team in the last 4 years. But the one constant has been when they've been given when they've basically, as I like to say, been given the keys to the car, they drive that MF. They drive it very well, thank you very much. But again, it's, you know, in many ways, Tyrod and Teddy Ballgame are more of an example of why we do and why we always focus on the field generals. Now, the thing is, neither one of them are Hall of Famers, so to speak. But that's not the point. They are more than serviceable quarterbacks and have shown that. They have the regular season and postseason credentials to show that. But they're not given the same rope that lesser talented white ball players have. Now, look. The only thing that's keeping Garofalo with that job is that he got to a Super Bowl and they're paying him a kings and queens ransom in San Fran. If not, I think Dodge would have started opening day. But, again, I digress. You know, and there's so many other guys. You know, Matthew Stafford's been given another opportunity. Andy Dalton's been given another opportunity. It took a freaking injury for them to keep Fitzpatrick from starting again. But that's the thing. Neither one of them have that postseason or regular season pedigree that Tyrod and Teddy have. Tyrod and Teddy are always one snap away from holding a freaking clipboard for the rest of the year. Now, I know Denver is sort of trying to make their guy the face of the franchise, But
yeah,
you know, their face of the franchise is black if you're talking about for the quarterback. And if they're gonna possibly be a surprise team or what have you, it's gonna be because of Teddy, not in spite of. And also in Houston, they may be able to get out of this if they come to their senses also in what they want for Watson. I get what they're trying to do, but you know, you gotta be realistic. They're not gonna fall. It's not like they're gonna fall off the face of the earth here. It's that the crazy thing is, at least it seems like to me, they actually brought in some more weapons so that he doesn't have to run around there like a one runaway slave that Watson had to do the last couple of seasons. So again, it's an interesting concept, and also, you don't have the Damocles sword of Bill O'Brien out there. You know, Mr. Cully is now the new head coach out there. And again, it seems as though, at least early on, they're playing to Tyrod's strengths as opposed to making him, trying to fit him into his system, so to speak.
Exactly. And that makes all the difference in the world. And it also makes it easier for them to compute their opportunities in terms of victories. Because ultimately, like Parcells said long ago, you are what your record says.
You are what you are. Exactly.
Right. And we can see the possibility that the field generals will show up, and make everybody's life difficult, because now they'll say, what are we going to do with all these brothers excelling? It changes the whole college dynamic. It also changes the fact that now, what's your excuse? You can't say we're rebuilding and you see that there's a more than capable black quarterback out there while Mel Kiper and all his shills will try to talk up somebody else so they can get that check and dismiss the talent that is obvious with the field generals and try to kill their money before they even have it in their pocket come the draft.
Here's the deal. A third of the NFL, as of right now, has a black starting quarterback. And there's 10 teams, and there's two basically in waiting in Chicago and in Frisco. Things always happen. You know, progress is always slow in anything and everything that we've had to do as a people. This is no exception. In many ways, it's probably progressing probably about as right. At some point before this year is over, we're gonna see a dozen brothers starting in the NFL, and the league has got to come to grips with that. I'll say this, and maybe I'm being naive. I think there are some people within the league that really will embrace it. Besides us, we've been ahead. We're ahead of the curve anyway, so we've never.
True,
but unfortunately, there's still a lot of folks within the media and within the decision-making process of the league where they still don't get it. And I don't want to say they never will, but you would think that after all these years, and again, even when I'm in the process of doing it on a weekly basis, I'm not going to say I'm amazed, but it still just really resonates in the sense of, wow, when you look at their stories, all those individual stories, and then we're adding a feature this year where we're doing a throw, I guess like a sort of a throwback thing, and we used Fitz Pollard this past week because he was basically the godfather for all these kids, and he got the Jackie Robinson treatment in the sense where they had a gentleman's agreement to kick him and the other then nine black football players out of the then NFL, which was led by Papa Bear Hallis, by the way, and which is a story in of itself. But you know, now a lot of it had to do with the black people. Also, his first Chris Paulus' first coaching job was with the Akron Pros. So they looked at this as competition. I mean, you're taking away you're taking away a lot of jobs from these good white kids that could be going, you know, and what have you in regards to that. But and he was more of a, I guess to a certain extent, he was more of a slash type, if you want to get there. But still, he went on the center a bunch of times. This was the, you know, old info. I say all of that to basically say, it's going to be interesting because I think if we go with just the 10 that started on opening day, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that 7, maybe 8 have a possibility of getting into the playoffs.
That's a distinct possibility, sir. And that's going to be the NFL's conundrum when the season ticks on. And as I'm saying, ticks on, I forgot there's one more gold brother, field general, that we have to talk about. And that's Jameis Winston, who went off on the New Orleans, on the Green Bay Packers for the New Orleans Saints, 38-3. I mean, that was an ass-whipping of mega proportions, and now they'll get Sam Darnold and the Carolina Panthers Sunday. On the heels of what Jameis did, I'm not surprised because Jameis has put up yards. Stats ain't a thing to Jameis. He was one of 3 quarterbacks within 3 years to throw 5,000 yards, and he was the one they didn't talk about. So now that he's running the Saints offense and he's got Alvin Kamara, probably the best overall back in the league, how does that add up for you, T?
Again, it's because, see, remember, he didn't have a Kamara back there. Now, no disrespect to, I guess it was I forget who was the runner, Martin, I believe it was, when he was there. But you know, like you said, Kamara is one of those double threats, and it will take and it will take a lot of pressure off of them. Now, on the other end, they have a little dispute with their with their all pro wide receiver. It's similar to Watson, although it's not, you know, it doesn't have to do with off the field stuff, but in a sense where both we're at the sort of irreconcilable differences, so to speak, at this point. Now that's a big weapon to lose because he's in that same, you know, Hopkins, Watkins, Fitzgerald, whatever mode, you know, when he's right. So, but again, I think because he has a few more weapons and it appears that they're playing to his strengths as opposed to trying to, fit a square peg in a round hole here.
As we're coming up on the hour, I just have to put in that Gary and the Grave of a Cove will be on at 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern. So, again, Gary will be on at 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific. Hey, G. I mean, good.
No, no problem. And of course, 5:30 out in Bapu, Taswana. But, you try not to, whatever with the first week, but still though, when you know these guys' history and what have you, the possibilities are there. Because like you said, he's balled out before. It's just that they chose to focus on the 30 interceptions as opposed to the 5,000 yards for obvious, sort of reason. So the fact that you had people that was like, I can't believe he balled out like this. I'm like, where have you, and you say, where have you been? You know, it is always so funny that they always try to make it out like these guys literally and figuratively are coming out of nowhere to do what they've done. Look at the overall record. Everyone always wants to just talk about your most latest, your most recent act, as opposed to looking at the whole picture. Famous has put up good numbers. It's right now, it's just a matter of now he's got a few more weapons around him, and it's a system that he's familiar with, granted you hate the fact that it took a disaster for them to play the game in Jacksonville, but how deep was he to be playing basically going back home for his first the opening season really start in front of his home folks? I mean, he even talked about it. He said, hey, this was, they dedicated the win to the city of New Orleans, but you got to know, put it this way, I'm willing to bet you he's probably a little lighter in the pocket this past week because of the game, I'm sure he doesn't mind because, you got the right
thing. You don't mind at all.
And
I bet you got all the crab legs that you eat, too.
really. And see, in one of the clips that we show in the Field Journal article, his defensive counterpart Jordan talked about how he rallied to him or what have you. But it's clear that, let's put it this way, I'm not going to pretend to know what goes on in the Saints locker room, but I'm sure there were a lot of players that was like, better let Winston start and not let, Lonesome Rhodes start the full season,
Yeah, Winston's not just a face in the crowd. He is the Saints starting quarterback, has not thrown an interception yet, and he's got 5 touchdowns on the board. So, read it and weep, as some folks might say.
There's going to be a lot of really intriguing, interesting stories this year with the Field Generals. It is going to be, it's going to be fun to watch. It really is because
it is going to be fun to watch.
And see the league in spite of itself is going to because look, again, we're going to have the lone brother matchup is going to be on national TV. I think that's the Sunday night game. This week, but all those other games will be seen, regionally as well. But yeah, that's what I'm watching in the NFL this year. I'm watching the Field Generals, because there's a story. There's literally a story in each one, and even if you just talking about the 10 guys who started on opening day, you still got these two youngins that were able to show how special they can be, even in a little bite-sized whatever. But yeah, it's this is going to be a fun season. I never thought I would say that about the NFL after all these years. This is going to be a fun season this year.
This is going to be a fun season. We're going to see a whole lot of situations come to point, and they're going to have to make a point and make a choice. And will they do it because it's good business, or will they do it because it's good image? I was once told by some balding tennis player that image is everything. But we're going to see what's going on. Right now, as you've always talked about the black athlete being the most imitated, we need black steel in the hour of chaos so that the NFL
Absolutely.
Knows what time it really is. We will see you all later this afternoon as Gary and the Great of the Cove will come on, 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern. For all of us here at the tree, go safe, stay safe.
Face for your face, London! Everybody in the house, make some noise! I want everybody in the house to say, ho! Yo, Chuck, kick it to him, man!
A ballad behind bars, or you could say real rock from the rock. An unusual musical happening in a most unusual place. The state prison
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it. It said they were suckers. They wanted me for their army or whatever. Picture me giving a damn, I said never. Here's a land that never gave a damn about a brother like me and myself, because they never did. I wasn't with it, but just that very minute it occurred to me, the suckers had authority. Cold sweating as I dwell in my cell. How long has it been? They got me sitting in a state pen. I gotta get out, but that thought was thought before. I contemplated a plan on the cell floor. I'm not a fugitive on the run. Brother, brother like me begun to be another one. Public enemy serving time, they drew the line, y'all. They criticized me for some crime. Nevertheless, they could not understand that I'm a black man and I can never be a veteran. On the strength of situations unreal, I got a raw deal. So I'm looking for the steal. Word them up, I'm looking for that steal.
Yo, man, we gonna break you out of there, man. We ain't gonna like that, man.
Don't you know, they got me rotten in the time that I'm serving. Telling you what happened the same time they're sowing. Four of us packed in a cell like slaves. Oh, well, the same motherfucker got us living in his hell. You have to realize what is a form of slavery organized under a swarm of devils. Straight up, word them up on the level. The reasons are several, most of them federal. Here's my plan anyway, and I say I got gusto, but only some I can trust, yo. Some do a bit from 1 to 10, but I never did, and plus I never been. I'm on a tier with no tears should ever fall. Cell blocked and locked, I never clock it, y'all. Cause time and time again, time they got me serving to those of them. I'm not a citizen, but ever when I catch the CO, sleeping on the job, my plan is on go ahead. I want a strength, but I'ma tell you the deal, I got nothing to lose. Cause I'm going for the steal.
Yo, Chuck, we gonna break you out of here, man. Words of strength, G.
I'm going for that steal.
Word up, G. They try to put black out of the game by keeping your name, you know what I'm saying? But they can't keep a good man down.
Got it. Got me in the cell.
Hey, yo, Chuck, we got
it.
Y'all ain't gonna stop me, man.
Got it. Got me in the cell. His gun and he did what I said so. And every man's a man got served along with the time they served. Decency was deserved. To understand my demands, I gave a warning. I wanted the governor, y'all, and plus the warden to know that I was innocent, because I'm militant, posing a threat. You better fucking up the government. My plan said I had to get out and break north. Just like Oliver's neck, I had to get off. My boys had the feds in check, they couldn't try nothing. We had a force to instigate a prison riot. This what it takes for peace, so I just took a piece. Black for black, it's my time to cut the leash. Freedom to get out to the ghetto, no sellout. 60 O's we got, we ought to put their head out. But I'll give them a chance, cause I'm civilized. As for rest of the world, they can't realize a cell is hell. I'm a rebel, so I rebel. Between bars got me thinking like an animal. Got a woman CO to call me a copter. She tried to get away, and I popped her twice, right? Now I wanna get nice. I had 60 O's, and now it's 5 to go, and I'm serious. Call me delirious, but I'm still a captive. I got a rap, it's time to break. As time grows a tent, I got my steel in my right hand. Now I'm looking for the fence.
Hey, yo, Chuck, we got the dope plan in effect. G, word to the strength, man.
I'm looking for that fence.
Word, I got the 98.5. See, Professor Good for the S1s. Yo, Chuck, we coming, man.
As I ventured into the courtyard, followed by 52 brothers bruised, battered and scarred, but hard. Going out with a bang, ready to bang out. The power from the sky, from the tower, shots rang out. A high number is dose, yes, and something close. I figure I trigger my steel stand and hold my post. This is what I mean, an anti-nigga machine. If I come out alive, then they won't come clean. Then I threw up, my steel bullets flew up. And to my surprise, the wall and tower blew up. Who shot what, who, what, the bazooka was who? And to my rescue, it was a S1W. Secure my getaway, so I just got away. The joint broke from the black smoke. Then they saw it was rougher than the average bluffer, cause the steel was black. The attitude is sex. Now the chase is on, telling you to come on. 53 brothers on the run, and we are gone.
Yeah, play, P on the flex. That's right, we can do it. We gon' keep on doing it. Yo, play, that's right. We never let y'all stop the promise, boy. No, I don't care what you do. I don't care what you do.
Got it, got me in the
cell. So you better know.
brother knows.